Couple weeks ago, something happened at our house, and I want to tell you the story, but I'll tell you from two different perspectives, because as Stephanie tells the story, it's from her perspective. As I tell it, it's from my perspective, and it may not shock you that those two stories are a little different. So we're sitting at our house on a Saturday afternoon. We hear a knock at the door. And our dog, our little Yorkie, Leon, starts barking his brains out, as he does. So he's barking. I go to the door, see who's at the door. I open the door. Let's see. And I'm telling this first one. This is Stephanie's, so I'm telling this from her. This is how this went down from her perspective. So I open the door. I talk to someone. And I tell them to hold on a minute, and I shut the door, and I go to the other end of the house where I go to get something, and which actually was money. And I come back. As I'm coming back through, she asks me, "Who is it?" And I said, "It's a little Cub Scout." And she says, "Well, what are they selling?" And I said, "I am a grown man. I can give this kid money if I want to." And I commence to go to the door, right? And I open the door and I exchange money for something and I come back in. And now, if she were telling it, she would say, "I didn't even really, at this point, even ask what it was you got." But incidentally, I got a little coupon card that had coupons to different places. Okay. Now I'll tell it from another perspective, my perspective. There's a knock at the door. Our dog barks his brains out. I go to the door. He's barking loudly, so I'm irritated at him. And I open the door, and there is the cutest little Cub Scout you have ever seen. He was probably 7 years old. Looked like he was 5 years old. His dad was out in the driveway, and he was here holding these cards, and he was selling them as a fundraiser. And I didn't even really hear what he said. "Sir, da 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 da, blah blah blah." He already had me just looking at him. He already had me. And so I said, "How much are they?" He said, $5. I said, "Hold on just a second." So I can't really invite him in because, you know, dad's out in the driveway. This kid's small. That's not really going to work, but the dog still will bark relentlessly, still is barking. So I say, "Hold on just a minute," and I close the door. I go to get my money. As I'm coming back through, Stephanie says, "Who is it?" And I say, "It's a little Cub Scout." And she says, "Well, what are they selling?" And I said, "Honey, I'm a grown man. I can give this kid, I can buy whatever he's selling if I want to." And I go to the door, and I, right, give him $5, and I get the card. "Thank you very much. Good job." And come back in. That's the same thing, the same event I'm telling you from two different perspectives. And so we're going to flip in your Bibles or turn in your Bibles or your devices or however you get there, but Romans 14 is where we're going to be. We're going to take a look at Romans 14, and this is Paul writing to Christians who are on two sides of something. They would tell the story about this issue two different, completely different ways. And so just to start out, I have to remind us how our own perspective is biased. If you were to ask me, "Elliot, well then what really happened with this, you know, Cub Scout at the door? How did that really go down?" I don't know that I could accurately tell you. I just know it from my perspective. I know how what she said struck me. She knows she would say that, you know, something different, how what I said struck her. And so it's amazing when you're on a different side of an issue with someone how differently you see something. So Romans 14. Now, before we get into this, so Paul is addressing an issue where Christians are on two sides of it. And he's going to address both sides. what's difficult about reading this chapter, because you can't read this without applying it to something today, you know, something that you would think, was there anything that, you know, is there anything going on right now that we're kind of at odds with other people about? You know, any issues where we're on one side, my tongue is in my cheek. This is ha-ha. We have everything. The pandemic has brought out, we have struggles with masks. We have struggle, we have had, and probably still do some, struggles with politics. We had a number of dividing things and continue to have, right? So when you read this chapter, it's so tempting to find what you think the other side needs from this. And so I encourage you in this lesson not to think about who needs what was just said. You find what is directed to you. You find what would Paul write to you. Does that make sense? So Paul never said, by the way, here's what your opponent needs to hear. Be sure and quote that to him. Be sure and quote this to him. This is what they need. You need to memorize this so you can rattle it off to them. So Romans 14. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. So the issue here is about eating. That's the primary issue. Paul will reference two other issues, actually. He'll also reference kind of holidays and probably religious holidays, and he'll reference drinking. So, but the primary issue is about eating, and it's about eating meat. And so before we go very far at all, notice that Paul does something right out of the gate. Verse 3, he talks to both sides. He tells them basically the same thing, but he tailors it to what they need. He tells one, don't despise the one who does not want to eat meat. They think it's wrong. We'll get to that in a second. The ones who won't eat meat and they believe it's wrong and don't think you should either, don't despise them for that, for their stance on that. And the ones who are abstaining, the ones who are not eating the meat, don't pass judgment on the ones who do. So right from the beginning, he tells both sides to yield. There's a spirit of yielding in this entire passage. So what is it that they were, you know, what was this issue of meat about? And the truth is, Paul really does not explain. He doesn't go into detail because they knew what it was. So you and I, there are, you know, a couple different theories. One is that maybe some of the Jewish Christians took a stance on meat because of, as a Jew, you had to treat meat, you had to deal with it a certain way. There were certain types that you were not to eat, certain ways you were to cook it. And so maybe this is Jewish Christians saying it's better that we don't eat meat at all. But a more likely scenario is that this is more likely the issue with idol worship. And in the first century, it was common in places where meat that was sold in the meat market, before it was sold, it was used in idolatry, some form of idolatry. Then it was sold in the market. Now, it was still fine to eat, but oftentimes it had been used in something that would violate the Christian's conscience or the Jews. And that's probably the issue here. So let's read on. Verse 4. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. It's pretty direct. Now, this is to one side here. Who are you? So this would be most likely Paul's talking about the non-meat eaters. These are the abstainers, because he's already referenced them and asked them not to pass judgment. They're the ones that are condemning the ones who are eating. And so he says, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Some other translations read, who are you to judge someone else's servant? And so it's about us. We want to judge our brother. We want to criticize our brother or sister in Christ. And this passage is telling us, to some extent, to stand down regarding that. To not be quick to do that, to recognize when you're doing that, you're passing judgment on one who they actually answered to this guy and not us. So let's go a little further. Verse 5 gets into different days. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. This is probably referencing Jewish Christians and their Jewish holidays, and they're continuing those holidays. Then you would have Gentile Christians, and they don't know anything about Jewish holidays. And they would be like us. Jewish holidays don't mean a lot to us because we're not Jews, and we live during the Christian age. But Paul does reference this issue here about different days. And look at what he says, verse 6. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. What's Paul's point here? So he references those who we have different, some who observed special days, holidays, religiously, that was special to them, and they did it to God, in honor of God. Others, they eat meat, and you think they shouldn't eat meat, but they do it in honor to God. Others, they don't eat meat, you abstain. Why do you do it? To honor God. There's a real clear point here, and that is everyone's trying to honor God. Rightfully so. Everyone's trying to honor God. Incidentally, let me also mention, this chapter covers very well. It starts out, let me back up real quick. Verse 1, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. This chapter is about opinions. It's about issues that come up that we get crossways with each other. Let me get back to where we were. This is about, some translations read disputable matters. That's what this is. And so many things in life, we don't have book, chapter, verse to clear it up. What should we do or how should we do it? A lot of times we have to use judgment. Things are of opinion. And so this one references certain days that are, some treat one way, others treat another way. I'll just say real quickly, this is a touchy subject, but Christmas is a challenge for us. It really is, because as a church, we don't make a huge deal about Christmas and celebrate it really as an entire group, partly because it's a man-made holiday. We first of all don't know when Jesus was born. That's kind of beside the point. But it is a man-made holiday. It came later. God did not institute it. The apostles did not start it. And so we're very cautious as a church to do something that we came up with. Now, is God opposed to us remembering when he sent his son to die for us? Of course God's not opposed to that. So how do we, and that gets to be a tricky thing. So as a group, we don't force that on our members or do it because we don't have thus saith the Lord, so we're cautious about that. Some recognize that personally and individually, and I would say this scripture speaks to that and says that if they do it to the Lord. But we have to be careful about passing judgment on others. So verse 7 takes this thought even further. It says, none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. So what's the point here? Let me ask you a question. Who bosses you around? Who bosses you around? I know that's a little bit of a loaded question because it kind of implies too much or, right, rudely or excessively. Who is your boss? Who is my boss? These three verses say very clear, your boss is Jesus Christ. That's my boss. That's who we answer to. And sometimes when we get crossways with each other, we forget that, hey, we are subject to Him, and we are needing to surrender to Christ, and that's who we serve, that's who we submit to, that is who our Lord is. We do have a master. So, let's get back to the meat issue. Paul says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? This would be the abstainers. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, this would be the other group. Why do you despise your brother? So the ones who were eating the meat and feeling judged by the non-eaters, well, they would despise them. So you had hard feelings going back and forth. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. One thing Paul does, you know, we get so crossways with each other sometimes, in the church even, we forget, we leave God out of it. You ever had an argument with a brother or sister in Christ and you didn't pray about it, you didn't pray before it, you didn't pray during it, you didn't pray after it? You weren't thinking of God, you were thinking of what you wanted to tell whoever you're arguing with, right? Am I the only one that has arguments with people? So, you know, your spouse is also a Christian, you know that. So we argue with each other, and my point is, what Paul is saying, don't forget, we'll all answer to God. That's part of the message of this chapter. Everyone will answer to God. God is working on everyone. We all have to give an account to the Almighty. So, let's go further, verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Again, this speaks to both sides. The ones who abstain, don't pass judgment on the ones who eat. This is a matter of an opinion. The ones who are eating, be cautious about that, because by your eating, you might put a stumbling block in the way of your brother. You need to think about that. And the message for both is the same, in the sense that if you think of the word yield, Paul's telling both sides, you need to put the other side first. You need to put your brother first, or your sister first. Verse 14, I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. Well, this kind of opens up a new point here. Paul comes on out and says, he started out saying this is of opinion. Now he says the actual truth of the matter is it's not wrong to eat meat. That's kind of like a verdict, if you wanted to read it that way. So, this is an issue of opinion where the actual truth of it in God's eyes, because Paul is an inspired apostle, he's an inspired writer, he says it actually would be okay for the ones who, it violates their conscience, it would actually be okay for them to eat meat. However, Paul does not take a strong stance on that. Why? Because of this point, it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. If it violates their conscience, then it is wrong for them. So, drinking alcohol. When I have searched this book, and you have too, I have searched this book, and for someone to drink alcohol in a very responsible way, in other words, let's say a drink, and you are still very much under the legal limit to drive, very much sober to drive. Person's being mindful of their example, who they're doing it in front of, who it's influencing, they're being wise about that. I have no scripture in here that says that person has sinned. Does that make sense? So, because scripture says, do not get drunk on wine. And so, drinking in moderation, a person has to be mindful of their example is a tricky part of this. But I cannot condemn or pass judgment or quote a scripture saying someone has committed a sin. At the same time, now I stand on a different side of that personally because a long time ago I decided not to mess with it, not to drink. I've never drank. I know what it smells like, and that doesn't smell too great to me, but I don't know what it tastes like, aside from NyQuil. I had a fair amount of NyQuil growing up. Anytime we would get sick, NyQuil is a recipe. I think it's because it made us go to sleep. So for me, at this point, I know biblically there's a time and a place where it could be appropriate for a Christian. But for me, it doesn't feel right. I don't like all the abuse of it. I have a number of different feelings against it personally. So I am convinced for me it would be wrong. It would violate my conscience personally, for me. And so for someone else, not so much. And that's what his point here is, it's okay to eat meat, but if it violates your conscience, it's not okay for you. So it gets tricky with disputable matters or matters of opinion, because there are absolutely going to be cases for us where something's okay for one, not okay for another. So how do we navigate that? Especially, did you notice my graphic? You notice how many people there are, a ratio of people to donuts? Sometimes we can't have everything. One can't have something and the other abstain and everyone else abstain. And it gets challenging. Verse 15. But the point of this whole chapter, the point is a reoccurring message. Think about your brother. Think about your sister. Verse 15. If your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. So Paul's saying it's okay for you, but if it's causing a problem for your brother, look at what your attitude is about it. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves God is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. So the message here is, again, it's yield, mutual upbuilding. We get... let me back up here and quote a part of this. Verse 17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not a matter of politics. It's not a matter of how we deal with this pandemic. The kingdom of God is not about these things. But we still live in this world, so we have to deal with these things, don't we? We have to deal with these topics. We have to deal with these issues. But the kingdom of God, what you and I are here for, is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. We're building each other up, strengthening each other. That's why we're here. I spoke to someone recently, a Christian not too long ago, who was not coming because they had some issues they were dealing with. And they were still getting fed spiritually through the Word of God, right? Listening to good lessons, still getting spiritually fed, but they were missing something. And the thing they were missing is fellowship. This is important to us. Romans 15, let's go to the next chapter. This topic continues. It didn't change at this chapter break. Verse 1, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So here Paul speaks to, basically, he's on one side of this argument. He's on the eat the meat. Okay, it's fine to eat meat. That's the side Paul is on. He says it's not wrong. He knows that. And yet he makes an argument to abstain for the sake of the brother. So those on this side, you abstain for the sake of your brother. Now, he tells the other side, what does he tell the ones who abstain? He tells them, don't pass judgment on the ones who eat. So it's still a yielding back and forth. But he makes this statement here about the strong having an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. That makes a lot of sense. Those who are stronger about something, what gets challenging is, who are the weak? Now, the weak ones in this scenario with the issue of meat is very clear. Paul considers the ones who it violates their conscience as the weak ones. In our circumstances today, I remind you, this chapter, these scriptures were not written for us to take and quote to the opposition. That's not the way it works. But it's tempting to get it crossways in an argument and say, well, I'm the weak brother. You should, let's say Stephanie and I, let's say I'm a saver and she's a spender. And I say to her, hun, you don't worry about money. You just spend it. So I do worry. I'm the weak brother. And Romans 15:1 tells you what you need to do. Right? Because I'm the weak brother. You're supposed to bear what you need to bear with me and quit spending so much. That's not quite how this works. Verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Again, the message, another message, yield to your brother. What can you do to help those on an opposite side of some issue? It's hard to do, isn't it? Because we have such strong feelings about it, feelings of resentment or bitterness. Sometimes we tend to judge the heart of another, not just their actions, but go past that and judge their heart. Yesterday, I took a little road trip, and I went up to, I was after some wood for a project, and I drove up actually into Missouri as I'm driving. I went up, this was south of Neosho, and there's a little bitty town called Goodman, Missouri, and little bit, so I drove through this little town, no stoplights, just a little country town, and I drove through the town, and outside the town, and then drove some more, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and I come in this, so there are a lot of rolling hills, I come in this valley. And pictures, I just snapped a picture. It doesn't do it justice, but in this big, beautiful valley at the foot of it is this little church building. And it was right next to a little river, a little creek. And so a little better picture of the church building. As I'm driving through here, I come upon a one-lane bridge. It's obvious, watch out. And a yield sign, a sign telling me to yield. Okay, so I look way past the bridge. No one's coming, so I go. And I'm thinking to myself, the thought passes my mind, that's kind of neat, and when I come back, I'll just blaze through because this side is yielding. So, evidently when I come back, I don't yield. And I went and did and picked up lumber, and I'm coming back. And lo and behold, would you believe there's a yield sign on the other side of this one-lane bridge, because two people can't be on this bridge at the same time going opposite directions, and the instructions are both sides to yield. And so that's the message for us today with so many things, is to yield. Put the needs and wishes and concerns of your brother ahead of yours and your sister. We're going to sing a song of encouragement this morning, softly and tenderly. And if you're here and there's something on your heart you want us to lift up to God on your behalf, if there's some way that we could help you, we'd love to do that. If you'd come while we stand and sing.
Softly and tenderly.